We'd like to preach on wholly following the Lord. And there are a number of subjects we could use. Entire consecration, all out for God, your best for Him. We could even use a lot of New Testament texts. But I'm going to use in the 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. I won't take time to read it, as I'll be quoting a few of the verses. But starting with verse 6 through verse 15. We want to use this precious saint of God as our starting place and for a foundation. It is peculiar to me, and always has been, especially in church work, why Christians feel that God is satisfied with part-time Christianity, lackadaisical service, partial consecration, giving God the leftovers of one's life. Now, there are a lot of tremendous men in the Bible, great saints of God, mighty warriors, head and shoulders above everybody. But there's one man, to me, has been a blessing, because I think he's about as common a man as you can get. And that's Caleb. There wasn't anything partial about him. No part-time making religion a hobby. He was a 100%. We want to call attention to the 6 times it said of him he wholly followed the Lord. And this really is our topic. Wholly following the Lord. Everybody knows that you can't be a success in anything in life unless you're all out. If you make up your mind you want to be in a certain business, a certain job, a certain kind of work, you begin very early taking everything in school that will contribute. You get a single-mindedness toward it until you go all out to make a success. And if you do that, you'll usually be a success. You can't have a part-time deal with it and say, well, I'll work on it maybe Saturday afternoon for a half hour, like people go to church for an hour or 2 hours a week and wonder why they're not a success in their Christianity. I read of a young insurance agent one time that, and by the way, if you want a single-mindedness, you get an insurance man on your trail. And he went into this big businessman and gave him such a wonderful line of talk until he gave him a great big policy. Then he said to this young insurance agent, he said, I want you to know you're very fortunate. For he said, I've had 6 other young men in here this morning trying to see me, and I wouldn't even see them. And you have won the policy deal. He said, I know, I was that 6 young men. That's why they succeed very often where others fail. We know that if you want to be a success in athletics, like Paul says, you've got to be temperate in all things. You've got to have a single-minded effort. You become temperate in your eating. You become temperate in everything you do in order that you might build up the necessary muscles to win. In music, there's all kinds of hours and hours of practice. Paderewski used to say, if I only practice 5 hours a day, he said, all the musicians in the place know that I didn't practice. He said, if I only practice 7 hours a day, he said, I know it. But he said, if I only practice 3 or 4 hours a day. He said everybody knows it. You can't be a success in anything without giving it your wholehearted support. What about this most important thing in your life and for eternity? What is the most important thing to you? Making a living? Making money? Fun? Recreation? Or is it the things of God? Are you all out for God? Now, in the light of eternity, which is the most important? I say it in class, and I've said it so often. We ought to so live, so consecrate our lives, so put God first. Now, as we will wish we had done at the judgment seat. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Most Christians make Christianity a hobby. Yet most people put more time on their hobby than these do Christianity. A hobby is to be played at in odd ways and in odd times with odd money. And not make it the prime thing in your life, or you'll fail in making a living. Now, we want to come to this man, Caleb. There are a lot of characters in the Bible that I can't seem to reach. But here's one man that has always been an inspiration to me. He was a common man with an uncommon faith and an uncommon consecration. Six times, God says of Caleb, he wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. Now, it's interesting to note that Caleb is not in God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Even more interesting, he's not mentioned in the New Testament at all. But I want you to see this morning, he must have a large place in God's heart. Or he wouldn't have said six times of him, he wholly followed the Lord. He wasn't a prophet, one of those solitary miracle workers. Not a king, not a judge, not a priest, not a prophet. There was no book of Caleb written in the Bible. He's a common man, plain, faithful believer. But I think he's an inspiration to everyone who believes, if they'll study his life. I think Caleb had a large place in the heart of God. Very large place. I want you to look at the first time. I want you to notice the three different ways in which he wholly followed the Lord, it was recorded that he wholly followed the Lord. The first one is autobiographical. He said to himself in Joshua 14:8, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord." Now, if we had time, we'd go back and take the 13th and 14th chapters of the book of Numbers. You should put that in the margin with this. Numbers 13 and 14, where we have, and we'll be referring to it, where we have the actual time that he mentions here. When those 10 faithless spies brought back an ill report. But Caleb and Joshua brought back a faithful report. I wholly follow the Lord. I'm only going to briefly give the story. The children of Israel had come up to Kadesh Barnea, and God said, "Go in and possess the land." And they sent out the spies, and they went up the length and breadth of the land, and they came back there in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers. And All of them brought back one report. It is a good land. It's everything God said it was. It's a land flowing in milk and honey. It's a desirable land. But 10 said, it's too bad we can't take it. It's impossible. They're high-walled cities. They're giants in the land. As though everybody in the land was 10 feet tall. And the thing was, they said, we were in our own eyes. I want you to notice that. And I have a sermon on the grasshopper complex. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. And so we were to them. If you're in your own eyes as a grasshopper, you'll be in everybody else's sight too as a grasshopper. I can see the picture of these great big giants and all these little grasshoppers coming up trying to take the land. Then they said, let us go back. Would God that we had died in the Egypt or in the wilderness. Now, I want you to notice in the 14th chapter, God says, all right, that's what you wished for and you're going to get it. All over 20 years of age, you're going to die in the wilderness. Your bones are going to bleach there. That's the language of unbelief. I hear it all the time with people saying about the sanctified, spirit-filled life, the Christian victorious life. Everybody realized it's wonderful. It would be great to be a victorious Christian. It'd be wonderful to be filled with the Spirit of God so that my life is controlled by Him. It'd be wonderful to so live that Christ lives in me completely and everybody sees Christ in me and not me. But of course, it's impossible. And the first giant is me. Is I should say. And then the giants is my wife, or my husband, or my children, or my job, or the church, or... Can't do it. We've got to stumble bum along in the Christian life as best we can, and finally, maybe by the prayers of all God's praying people, I'll finally make the grade. That's not the thing that God's provided. Caleb didn't look at obstacles. He saw the same giants. He saw the same high-walled cities. He saw the great nations, the seven great nations of Canaan, besides three or four other kind of nations. All kinds of ites in the place. But notice what he said. He saw the giants, but in following the Lord, the giants looked like teddy bears to Caleb. He said in Numbers 13:30, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread unto us. I love that. He said, they'll fatten your spiritual souls. Did you know every obstacle that is in your way is not put there to defeat you? It's not there to make you turn back into the wilderness. It's there as a test of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that when you're tried, you might be found unto honor and glory in the day of Jesus Christ. It's bread for you. Every obstacle by faith that you overcome in your Christian life is bread to fatten your spiritual soul and put meat on your spiritual ribs. People act as though, and they always say, it's the devil that did it. It's the devil that put it my way. I don't always think so. But very often God allows you to get in this predicament just so He can show you His power and show you what He can do to get you out of it. This has always been the language of faith. If God delights in us and if God has promised it, He'll give it to us. Let's go in and take the land. Joshua is the same way as Caleb. They both said the same thing there in Numbers 13 and 14. The next time it said is biographical. The first one is autobiography. This one is biographic. God says it 4 times in 4 different places about Caleb. If you want the references, Joshua 14:9 is the one we'll use primarily, but it's in Deuteronomy 1:36, in Numbers 14:24, and in Numbers 32:12. I'll give them again, Joshua 14:9, Deuteronomy 1:36, Numbers 14:24, Numbers 32:12. You know, when I get on this, God loves to say it. He's saying to us, for all these years, for some 3,500 years almost, over 3,000, here's a man that is typical of every believer all through the ages. Anybody can do it. You don't have to be a wonderful warrior. Nothing said about Caleb being a great warrior. Strong arm. Big man. No, I think he was just a common... He might have been a shrimp. Might have been a little keen icy fella. You know, God doesn't need much of a man, as D.L. Moody said, but he needs all the rest of him. Somebody said to D.L. Moody one time, the world is yet to see what God can do with a man whose heart is wholly yielded unto him. D.L. Moody said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. And he shook 2 or 3 continents for God. D.L. Moody wasn't too great as far as his own person was concerned. God's not looking for great men, strong men, mighty intellects. God is looking for somebody who belongs wholly to him. He wholly followed the Lord. 100%. There wasn't anything 90% or 70% or 50% or 10% for God. Caleb was sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. He didn't belong to Caleb anymore. He belonged to God. And if you're going to do anything in the world for God Almighty, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to do like the Apostle Paul. He put everything in the balance in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. He put everything that was profitable to him on this side, and he put everything that belonged to God on this side. And he said, the things that were gained, I counted loss that I might win Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss that I might win Christ. And Paul was sold out. Look what God did with him. Caleb in Joshua 14:9. Moses records it. Swear on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. See? Cause and effect. Do you want the mountaintop? Do you want the victorious life? You'll have to say, I wholly follow the Lord. And God, amen. I'll give him the mountain. I'll give him promise. I'll give him what I've called him for. Because he wholly followed me. Caleb didn't count the obstacles. He didn't measure the size of the giants and their weight and their armor and the lack of spears and swords and all weapons of war in Israel. The Egyptians didn't let them make them. But none of these things bothered him. And remember when God said this to Caleb, like down in verse 14, therefore because became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephthah, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord his God. When God said to Caleb, you remember 45 years ago when you went walking all over this country and you went around this mountain? It's yours. Now, this amazing thing. When God said that to Caleb, this giant still lived in him. The old man and the dad, the granddad and the dad and the 3 sons, all giants, still lived in it. God said that to Caleb 45 years ago, and now he renews it. I can see the picture of Caleb. Remember, he didn't have any army with him. He was all by himself, probably. The other, maybe Joshua was with him. Doesn't say. Caleb was walking around this mountain and kind of surveying the thing and kind of staking it out and saying, I'm going to put here this, and I'm going to put the corn crib over here, and I'll put the potato house here, and I'll put the smokehouse here, and I'll plow the South 40, and staking it out. Owning it by faith. And I see old man Arba, who was the granddad, saying, what does that gypsy think he's doing? And I see Arnok, his son, the old man, head of the clan, saying he acts like he owns the place. I got news for him. He's got the deed in his pocket. In his heart. Did you know faith puts in your present possession the thing only hoped for? Hebrews 11:1. It does, you know. And then the three sons all get together on this deal, and you'll read of them, Hyman and Sheshai, saying he acts like a gypsy. I don't think Caleb paid much attention to the giants at all. He's a whole lot like I used to say about Abraham in the land of Moab with Lot. Lot saw grass. Abraham saw grace. All the difference in the world. By faith, Caleb owned it all. He had no doubt at all that this was his country. Now, third, most important of all, I call it, I'm probably inventing a word, theography. God saying it directly to him. We read it, 14th verse. And also says, and Joshua blessed him. Because he wholly followed the Lord, God says, I'm giving it to you. Six times. Caleb, for 45 years, counting the 40 years in the wilderness, 5 years in gaining Canaan up to this time, had walked over Canaan and walked through the desert and over the wilderness, kicking up dust with this promise. Unfulfilled, but owned. I've given it to you. Now he's 85. And he comes up to Joshua and said, now, all right, I'm ready to take the land. He didn't ask for the plains of Sharon. He didn't ask for the valley of Jehoshaphat. He didn't ask for the land already conquered. He asked for the hardest thing in the whole country. I think Israel bypassed the Mount of Hebron because of the giants there, and they'd conquered the rest of the country, and now he said, give me the mountain. I'm ready to take it. Do you think any draft board would have passed Caleb? 85 years old. And he said, I'm just as good now as I was 45 years ago. It says right in this text. I believe it too. He'd been kept healthy for the last 45 years waiting for the fulfillment of the thing. That's another good thing about believing God. He'll see to it you're preserved till the time the promise is fulfilled too. Hardest job in the land. Then notice, it says Joshua blessed him here in verse 13. Now remember, Joshua is the Hebrew word for Jesus. Jesus. Joshua means Savior, and Jesus means Savior. And the Septuagint translates the word Joshua very often, Jesus. I want to say to you this morning, if by faith you'll claim from God everything that He's got for you, your heavenly Joshua, your heavenly Jesus will bless you and give it to you. He'll give it to you. There are not enough demons in hell or out of hell to keep you out of the Spirit-filled, victorious Christian life. If you'll make the claim and claim the property as yours by faith. But you won't do it until you wholly follow the Lord. Make up your mind of this. This is complete consecration. This is giving yourself completely to God. I remember what dear old Dr. Vandervender, who was our hymnology teacher back when I came to Trinity College in 1932. A very precious man of God. Now, I meant to say back a little further here, I love to see a dear old saint of God way up there in years, 80 and 90 years of age, and still going strong. I remember I heard dear old Buddy Robinson when he was way up in years. And he made this statement. He said, I have fought the devil tooth and toenail for the last 40 years. And he said, I'm going to do it till I lose my teeth, and then I'm going to gum him to death. And I heard old Dr. Vandervender say, I may never be an 8-cylinder car, but I want to be the best 4-cylinder that ever ran. God doesn't expect you to be a Billy Graham, a Billy Sunday, or some great mighty person, but He does expect you to be all His. He expects you to be 100%er. He expects you to be wholly belonging to Him. No wonder Caleb didn't bother about giants or anybody else. He wholly followed the Lord. And if you're following Him, He's got to meet Him first. You see the beauty of this? Every obstacle He meets first. Peter, the angel said, Peter, rise up and come on out of here. And Peter followed the angel out. Well, that's the best way to be when there's an iron door between you and the outside. It opened by itself. Jesus said, when I put forth my feet, I will be before you. Jesus said, I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. You don't need to worry about where's the means coming from. How's he going to do it? Will anybody listen? Don't worry about it. Just obey Him. Would God, if the Lord were writing a biography of E.C. Bragg, and you, and you, and you, and you, all of you, He could write in there, He wholly followed the Lord. God must have loved Caleb a lot to say it 6 times. He loved to say it. You remember the Lord loves to brag on His saints. Remember, He bragged to Lucifer when he had to come up and give an account of his rulership. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job, how he... What? He loves me. He's wholehearted. He's perfect in his generation. Now, if he bragged to the devil about Job, what must he say to Michael and Gabriel and the rest of the angels in glory about you if you wholly follow him? He turns to Michael and he said, have you noticed Caleb lately down there, way out in the middle of the desert, he's still following me at 100%. Caleb made glad the heart of God. Do you? Don't give God a half of your life. Don't give God a piece of it. Don't give God part of it. Give Him all. He'll use you in His will. He'll put you in the perfect will. He'll use you right where He wants you. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, you ought to hear that, well done. Lord bless you.